What is up, you winter crickets? Welcome to No Holds Barred. Before we launch in, I'm going to hitch up with the word of the week. This is where we take a word that is Shakespearean, off-putting, troubling, confusing, makes you hate Shakespeare when you read it for the first time because you have no idea what he's talking about. Break it down, tell you what the word means, and then try to sneak it past Kevin in whatever way I want to this week during the episode. This week, the word of the week is nonce. Nonce, N-O-N-C-E, meaning purpose or occasion. There is literally no chance I find a way to use this word for its proper nonce.
Here we go.
Welcome to No Holds Barred, the Shakespeare podcast. Shakespeare would have listened to. I'm Dan Bollier.
And I'm Kevin Condardo. This week we'll acquaint some bedfellows, try Hermione, and rally around director Robert Icke's claim that British Shakespeare has been, quote, poisoned by the, quote, bizarre overacting of an older generation of thespians. Shots fired.
Kicky Icky.
But first, let's duel. In the duel, we choose three questions at the intersection of Shakespeare and the present day and take 45-ish seconds to hash out the best answer. I won the coin flip before the show, and I've elected to go second. So, Dan, why don't you lead us off?
Oh, perfect.
Question number one. Charlene Smith tweeted us at No Holds Barredcast to draw attention to a tweet from Shakespeare's Globe, which asked, quote, "Now, this sounds like a fun way to spend an afternoon. Do you have a favorite Shakespearean insult, Daniel?"
Yes. And that's my answer.
Great.
So we have 43 seconds to remain. So I just want to talk about how great I am real quick to all of you remnants out there. And that is actually my answer.
Remnants.
Thou remnant from Taming of the Shrew, Act 4, Scene 3. It's when Petruchio is like ripping apart the tailor and goes off on this whole list of tailor-suited insults. Including thou thread, thou thimble, thou yard, three quarters, half yard, quarter nail, thou flea, thou knit, thou winter cricket, thou braved in mine own house with a skein of thread, away thou rag, thou quantity, thou remnant. I just love the idea that it's like this guy is like a leftover piece of fabric.
Right. And rag is a great one, too.
It's awesome.
When I was pledging the fraternity in a different life, rags was what they called the pledges.
And what fraternity was that?
For legal reasons, we don't need to pass that. Rag is really good. For me, it's funny that I know you enacted Petruchio and took great joy in saying that line.
I did.
And my favorite insult, if I had to choose one, is also one that I got to do another lifetime ago, in the same lifetime as I was a rag, actually, as it comes out. It's from Cymbeline,
yes.
Clotten's line. He calls the First Lord an unpaved eunuch. And that lord is definitely not a eunuch, so it's just like, you screwed this up, you unpaved eunuch.
Oh, like, my God.
Which, for those of you scoring at home, means that a gentleman who has been given a clean slate downstairs, we'll just say.
Testyless.
And possibly the reason I enjoyed it even more was that the subject of said insult was the Boston Angler, Liam Billingham.
Oh, perfect.
So, unpaved eunuch, remnant...
There we go.
There you go. Question number two. Megan, who is at Megan S. Letton on Twitter, responded to our request for syllabuses from all of the
syllabi?
High school. Syllabi?
Syllabi?
Syllabi.
Syllabi.
I met you at Syllabi. Okay. You will be... whatever. That's a Julius Caesar joke. responded to our request for syllabi from all the high school English teachers out there by writing, quote, "In Bismarck, North Dakota's public schools, we're R&J, JC, Hamlet, and McBee. Mm-hmm. Some are moving to Midsummers for English 10. Hmm. If you were a teacher," meaning us,
we are,
"which four plays would you teach?" Mm-hmm. So I, you know, it's hard because I would love Comedy of Errors to be in the play, in the round of plays that we teach the students at the beginning, just to show, like, as an onboarding.
Right.
That it's like, it's this isn't heady. This doesn't need to be, like, crazy. Like, right. It's a farce.
Right.
But in coming up with four plays, freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, I really can't justify putting Comedy of Errors in there.
Oh, sure you can. I can't. The classic unities.
Because you need to write, you know, you have to have your eye on the AP exam on the horizon, and you can't, there's not a lot to do,
sure,
you know, for that. So I would go R&J, As You Like It, Twelfth Night, and Hamlet. I think it's good to get some comedies in there. I think As You Like It is a good... I prefer As You Like It to Midsummer or Much Ado, but I can see all the arguments.
Sure.
I've also come a long way on As You Like It. From hating it to liking it.
Oh,
I've come all the way around.
As You Like It.
Yeah, exactly. And Twelfth Night is your AP. There's plenty in there for your AP usage. So,
yeah, absolutely.
R&J, As You Like It, Twelfth Night, Hamlet.
Cool. We have two of the same. I'd actually start with the freshman with Much Ado.
Okay.
I like that it has a lot of prose and verse, and you can really, the examples, if you look at the young couples in verse and what they mean, like the young lover, and then the more jaded, mature couple speaking in prose, I think you can really, like, freshman year is a good year for that.
Yeah.
It's really accessible. Sophomore year, I think Macbeth makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You need to do a tragedy. It's the best one.
Reach out to the goth kids.
Goth, totally. Yep. A lot of angst.
Yep.
Got to talk about witches. It's fun. It's a sexy play.
Uh-huh.
You can get him excited with it. And then Twelfth Night, Hamlet. I agree.
Yeah.
I think Twelfth Night is better to teach than Romeo and Juliet. And it's similar in the same way that there are two sides of the same coin, I think.
Yeah.
In that sense,
and unrequited love and longing. Like, there's definitely something you can tap into when you're 15.
Right. And some dense verse. And then, I mean... Senior year Hamlet makes total sense.
You just have to. Yeah. Question number three. Andrew Dolbear emailed us at noholdsbarredpodcast@gmail.com to ask, I want to gather as few friends as I am capable of gathering to film an adaptation of a play over a weekend, possibly on a camping trip. I live in a rural town, hundreds of miles away from a city, so the pool of actors I have to work with is small. What play would be best served with a small cast, low budget, natural setting?
Yep.
Important note, I'd like to avoid As You Like It if possible.
Okay.
Daniel.
I'm going to go with As You Like It.
He said no.
Okay, well then I'll go with Macbeth.
Go on.
I think that you could do it with five people. If you're going to do it as a film, I would cast Mackers, Banquo, and the Three Witches and really make it about Macbeth and Banquo, and then have the witches play everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can do it with film easily.
Yeah.
Low budget, shoot it like Blair Witch. Do it in the woods. You're going to camp. Perfect. Shoot it at night. It's a 3-day shoot, you're using all the hours of the day.
Right.
You got to be shooting throughout the night. Find a pond. Find some fog.
Get some lights.
Yep. But like low budget lights. Like I picture almost like Like emergency lights, like the floodlights.
Yeah, totally.
You know, just like flashlights.
Yeah,
get really resourceful.
In my experience with guerrilla filmmaking, lighting is always a challenge, especially at night.
Go on. When did you do that?
Oh, don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. I don't like to brag.
Don't like to brag or can't brag on this one?
For me, I think I'm looking at using the woods, so I want a woods play. Again, As You Like It would have been cool, but it seems like we've already gone down that road.
I already took it.
So I'm gonna take Midsummer.
Okay.
And to keep it small, and you know, going about what you were saying about film, it just triple cast it.
Yep.
So you have the same actors doing all three.
Yep.
You know, all three tracks all the way through. You're in the woods the whole time. So like, you know, with Mackers, you're gonna have to go back and film some inside stuff at some point.
Yeah. Do it in tent.
Yeah, you could. Yeah. But there's none of that. Like, it's all woods all the time. Find a clearing, find a rock for them to go to sleep on. Like, nice and easy. And then, you know, I saw there was a production a few years ago in New York of Midsummer with just five people.
Perfect.
On stage.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, there were some theatrical conventions that I think you could avoid just with film. You know, you can cut the reactions of the play.
Right,
you
right, right.
You can have one group sitting on one side and then film the, you know, Pyrosynthesis being on the other side. So
Okay. That's
what I would say, Midsummer.
That'd be fun.
So keep us posted, Andrew.
Right.
We're also available. Anyways, that is how we duel. If you have a question you'd like to see featured in a future edition of The Duel, please send it our way. We are at noholdsbarredpodcast@gmail.com. We are on Patreon at patreon.com/noholdsbarred. We are on Twitter @noholdsbarredcast. And we are on Facebook at facebook.com. No Holds Barred cast. Daniel.
Yes.
Shall we do some homework?
Yes, please.
Mentos, perchance you wonder this show, but wonder on till truth makes all things plain.
This is the part of the program where I pull a Shakespearean homework question from the internet, and Dan and I do our best to pull together a coherent answer, no matter how stupid the question or how pressing the deadline. This episode's question comes from Redditor Maria Malore under the heading Hermione's Innocence. Huh? They ask, how does anything in Act 3, Scene 2 prove Hermione's innocence?
Oh,
So, Dan.
Yeah?
How does anything in Act 3, Scene 2 prove Hermione's innocence? Should we give a little context to her Winter's Tale context? So, if you're not familiar with Winter's Tale, Act 3, Scene 2 is the trial scene where Leontes has accused his wife Hermione of cheating on him and bearing an illegitimate child. Hermione is like 11 months pregnant at this point, and he drags her into trial to defend herself against these charges. So that's where we are. So how does anything in Act 3, Scene 2 prove her innocence?
I'll take the Oracle's word for £1,000, please.
That's a pretty good start, Maria Malore.
Maybe after the fact that when Leontes says there is no truth in the Oracle, his son dies is also proof that the gods are angry.
Also in Act 3, Scene 2.
Act 3, Scene 2.
Yep.
Pretty much the whole scene.
Well, I see. I do at least. It's the. I think the primary reason I don't tell you these questions before. I mean, for several reasons, yeah. But also the reaction you have on Mike is the same reaction I have when I read it.
Right.
That I'm at my computer. Like, actually, I'm more. I'm like, because I'm just by myself and I'm typing. I'm like, Jesus Christ. That's usually my reaction. But so after my outrage, I went and I looked at the scene and. Hermione, in her testimony,
yes,
just basically is saying, you've already brought me up here because you think I'm not trustworthy.
Right.
So my word to you is worth nothing.
Right.
So I'm not even going to say I didn't do it. I didn't do it, but I'm not going to beat that drum because you've already, it's like actually kind of a really good point.
Right.
It's like, obviously that means nothing because I've already told you I didn't do it. So that must be what Maria is looking at.
Right.
That in her in Hermione's full text, she really doesn't, you know, she doesn't protest. She protests too little.
Well,
as opposed to too much.
Sure. She knows it's conviction, right? She knows that she's
right
in the right.
Right.
And says, go ahead. It's a future everyday shakes. The bug which you would fright me with, I seek.
Mm.
When he's like, I'm calling in the Oracle. It's like, please do.
Yeah.
Apollo be my judge is like,
don't threaten me with a good night's sleep.
You know, it's exactly where it's like nothing. I'm not concerned what's in that envelope because I know the truth,
right?
And if the and I trust she has trust in Apollo,
right? Right. And so for context for the again for people that don't know, so basically Leontes appeals to the great Oracle at Delphi, right?
Yeah,
he sends two people out to go ask the gods for if the child is legitimate. And so these folks trek all the way out from the, you know, the coastline of Bohemia, wink,
yep.
And go to Greece, get the Oracle's word, bring it back in a sealed envelope, and then Leontes opens it, and he's like, I don't buy it.
Yeah, there is no truth at all in the Oracle.
Yeah, the Oracle says, nope, she's good, and he's like, nah, and then immediately thunderclap,
yep.
His kid dies.
Yep, she falls down, starts to give birth.
Right. Babe.
Basically.
Right. She dies.
She swoons. Yeah, and it really is pretty clear. The Oracle's message, the first line, Hermione is chaste. Polixenes blameless. Camillo, a true subject. Leontes, a jealous tyrant.
Fake news!
Fake news, sad!
Sad.
Sad. Yeah, right? The Jeff Sessions shall proceed. This is mere falsehood. Sad.
Sad.
Fake news. Alt news.
From the Oracle.
I don't buy it. The failing Oracle. Oh, yeah. But, you know, it is that sense of when you know you're right. And, you know, that's what proves, I mean, the entire scene proves that Hermione is innocent.
Yeah.
Although her actions after the, like, I'm going to now hide for 18 years. That's,
well, depending on your interpretation.
Or she's dead.
Or she dies.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
If that is lethal news, mortal news for her, that's, it's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
It's like,
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I think that sense of, just knowing that she did everything. I mean, her argument is like, I did this for you.
Right. And she goes into this whole thing about, you know, you brought, it's actually a great argument for someone in a, you know, it's a great relationship argument that it's like, oh, I'm sorry, your best friend from your whole life was coming to visit. You told me to treat him as a brother. Sorry, I did.
Right.
Sorry, I was super nice to your best friend. Why
should I have been more standoffish and been that
right?
That kind of
wife? What do you want from me?
Right.
Or any, you know, and I, yeah, it's just like, I thought I was being a good host.
Right.
I was trying to, you know.
And that's, you know, that really is not typical, but it's not unfamiliar with that kind of person that's like the jealous type.
Oh, yeah.
Be like, hey, treat them well, and then you're screwed no matter what. Because if she doesn't treat them well, that's going to be a problem.
Right.
If she does, that's a problem.
Right.
So that really, it's interesting.
It's a catch 22.
Is this scene about Hermione's innocence, or is it about Leontes' jealousy?
Probably for the arc of, I mean, it could be both.
Yeah.
But probably for the arc of the play, it makes more sense for it to be about Leontes' jealousy. Because
right.
he needs to, you know, he needs to bury himself.
Right.
He needs to scoop up all that heel heat. So then when we get the turn, like he... This is his last call to make everyone hate you
right.
before you're... You need to go as... he needs to hit rock bottom here.
Yeah.
So that he has the longest path back to...
Right.
Not reconciliation. Back to... forgiveness. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know. But so I...
The reprieve.
It could be played both ways, but, you know, it's more... Hermione kind of holds her ground.
Yeah.
You know, that she's innocent. And she is being innocent, whereas Leontes is the one that goes on the journey in this scene from, like, rational to irrational.
Yes.
You know?
It was the production I just saw at BAM. Mm-hmm. It went, I think it actually went too far, where they had Leontes, after this news, knee Hermione in the belly.
Oh!
Which was like, there goes the kid. Which was unforgivable. Like, at that point, like that character at the end of the play, I did not forgive him.
Yeah.
I was like, nope, that's so we need to hit rock bottom.
Yeah, that's.
But not jump the shark. What is it? What's the.
Yeah, kind of.
Like not go too far with it.
Yeah, jump the. Yeah, it's not really jump the shark, but that, right. Not be irredeemable.
Right. Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Got to learn to forgive this guy somehow.
And so.
That's not how.
Yeah. So there you go. There, Maria Malore. A couple of reasons for Hermione's innocence from your favorite defense attorneys here at No Holds Barred. Everyday Shakes?
Yes, please.
This is the section of the show where we pull a phrase from Shakespeare and show you how to use it in your everyday conversation. This week's phrase is Misery acquaints a man with strange bedfellows, as featured in Act 2, Scene 2 of The Tempest. Let's hear the phrase in context. Here's neither bush nor shrub to bear off any weather at all, and another storm brewing. I hear it sing in the wind. Yon same black cloud, yon huge one, looks like a foul bombard that would shed his liquor. If it should thunder as it did before, I know not where to hide my head. Yon same cloud cannot choose but fall by pailfuls. What have we here? A man or a fish? Dead or alive? Oh, a fish. It smells like a fish. A very ancient and fish-like smell. A kind not of the newest poor John. It's a strange fish. Were I in England now, as once I was, and had but this fish painted, not a holiday fool there would give a piece of silver. There would this monster make a man. Any strange beast there makes a man, where they will not give a doit to relive a lame beggar. They will lazy out 10 to see a dead Indian. Legged like a man, and his fins like arms. Warm. Oh, my troth, I do now let loose my opinion. Hold it no longer. This... is no fish, but an islander that hath lately suffered by a thunderbolt. Ah, alas, the storm has come again. My best way is to creep under his gabardine. There is no other shelter hereabouts. Misery acquaints a man with strange bedfellows. I will here shroud till the dregs of the storm be past.
Nice.
That was Misery Acquaints a Man with Strange Bedfellows, as featured in Act 2, Scene 2 of The Tempest. Daniel.
Amazing.
Could you give us a little context for this?
Sure. So we start the scene with Caliban, who is loaded up with wood and is basically like cursing, just cursing Prospero and everything, because it's been in the middle of a huge storm. Mm-hmm. And there's basically like the eye of a hurricane right now. He's like, ah, crap, here comes one of... And he's been... Caliban's being tormented by all the spirits. So he sees Trinculo wandering up and is like, ah, damn it, here comes another spirit to torment me. I'm going to hide, and lays down. And Trinculo is lost and just confused and miserable because he's been getting shipwrecked, then rained on, and there's another storm coming, and he happens upon Caliban. And this is a tricky bit of blocking business. Like, how do you want to set this up? Trinculo's a clown. Mm-hmm. So this, you know, the clown's discovery of like, oh, a new toy. What is this? And it turns out he thinks it's a fish. Maybe it's a man. Mm. Oh, it's Caliban. Oh, crap. Here comes a storm. So I'm going to hop under this gabardine. And then you end up with, like, the four-legged thing that Stefano finds.
Right.
Which is Trinculo and Caliban together. But at no point does he really figure out that this is a living being. He deduces that it is an islander that got struck down. It's like, oh, well, I'm going to hide here. This sucks, but... You know, you do what you have to do in a sticky situation.
Right.
That's how I got here. Right. No questions.
Strange bedfellows.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how could we... Misery acquaints a man with strange bedfellows. How could we use this in our everyday conversation?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think you and I can use it all the time.
describe our entire friendship.
Pretty much. How did you end up doing a podcast in a basement in
misery
Brooklyn?
Misery acquaints a man with strange bedfellows.
Yeah. Recently... in an attempt to just get some things together, you know, I came home with a package, or four packages of ramen, or ramen noodles, as people say.
Who says that?
I did growing up. I was ramen noodles. I don't know.
We'll appeal to Ben Crystal to give us the correct pronunciation.
Yeah, what is the OP on
ramen?
Ramen. Get at us. But yeah, it's like, why are you eating ramen? Like, yeah, misery acquaints itself. Misery acquaints man with strange bedfellows. It's a dollar and it's four meals, so
and I'm miserable.
And I'm very miserable right now as I eat this curry flavoring sauce.
The first thing that popped to my I recently had an experience in New York Transit that reminded me of this, where I was stranded on a train for an hour and a half that was stuck between stations.
Oh God!
A train derailed ahead of us, and so we ended up having to like go backwards, and it was a nightmare.
Yeah,
but. After about 70 minutes on a train with everyone else, and people are like, we're underground, so that everyone's like, does anyone have service? Like, you actually, it's like a weird Twilight Zone episode or like an old like TV movie where you start to like know who the other people are, like who's the loose cannon, who's, you know, there was one quiet, you know, older Hispanic woman who was the one who had service, but she didn't speak English. And so, like, there was this uptight, you know, Upper East Sider.
Is that you?
No. Oh. who was, no, I had my headphones on, observing.
No.
But, you know, this person who probably rides the subway three times a year and is like, why didn't I take a car today? All right, tell her to call 911. And then, like, some, you know, a courier is, like, translating from English to
Amazing.
Spanish to this old woman from this, someone wearing, like, a mink, like... Oh, misery acquaints a man with strange bedfellows, and so on the train. So put that on an MTA poetry, one of those
poetry in motion
posters. Yeah,
yeah. Could you do like a production of No Exit just set on a broken down train?
There's definitely something you could do on a broken down train. Right. I mean, I felt like you could have written a one act just there. Like that is the one act. The train stops.
Yeah. Right. For me, it's also similar in college to, I'm definitely only in college, to watching The Notebook. Where you're like, why are you watching The Notebook? Like, misery acquaints a man. Why don't I know this quote? Misery acquaints a man with strange bedfellows.
Disgusting.
I'm looking to get a bedfellow, so I'm going to watch The Notebook, and this is miserable.
Disgusting.
I mean, it's a great flick, I've heard. I owned the box of the DVD box.
At Dan Bono's on Twitter. the other time that I felt the strangest bedfellows in a more above board context, When we used to go to the NFL draft when it was at Radio City. And it's one of my favorite experiences that, you know, as a fan of your team, you know, we as Patriots fans,
of course,
I very rarely get along with Steelers fans, and I very rarely get along with Jets. A stranger wearing a Jets jersey.
Yes.
Very little common
also
ground.
Known as an
oh, boy. I don't know if I have enough bleep for that. As a matter of fact, there's probably only one situation where that would be, where I would be able to have a common ground with a Steelers jersey and a Jets jersey and Broncos jersey. And it's when Roger Goodell walks out on stage and we're all like, "F you, clown!" So that is the strangest bedfellow situation at the draft when you're all 30 different jerseys united in a common hatred. Also, it would happen whenever one team drafted, the other 31 teams would be like, "That guy sucks."
Right.
Right. Am I right? This guy sucks.
Other 29 teams?
There are 32 teams in the NFL.
Oh, great.
I haven't watched. They may have added more. I haven't watched in 2 years.
Well, I don't count. Like the Bills, they don't count.
Yikes.
Suck it, Kale.
And now that we've gotten our weekly allotment of on the Bills, let's move on to plugs, corrections, banter, word of the week.
Yes. What do you got, Danny? A lot of banter this week. A lot of banter. So to start us off, big shout out to the fine folks at Ocala Civic Theater. They retweeted, "So you're going to see Macbeth," which for their production, which just closed earlier this week on Sunday. So shout out to them and everyone who did. That was a youth production.
Oh, nice.
And it was in conjunction with a college. So all you students out there who did Mackers, congratulations, and sorry about all those ghosts that now are in your dorm room.
MJ Brady, who is at Buffalo MJ, tweeted us at No Holds Bardcast to put in a request for a future Everyday Shakes. His request was "Villain, I Have Done Thy Mother" from Titus.
I use it all the time.
The problem is there's only one real application of "I banged your mom." There's no real...
I don't know. I can get creative with that one.
I'll bet. but I don't know that we could cover 8 minutes on it, but...
I wouldn't give to cover 8 minutes.
Oh, but... "Vil and I Have Done Thy Mother." Yes, definitely an everyday usage. I just don't... Just it will save you 8 minutes of what Dan is doing right now.
Shout out to Pseu42, which is at PSEU42 on Twitter. He writes, "Go to at Dan Bonos on at No Holds Bardcast for the best rendition of the funeral oration, or to Lord Buckley for the second."
Mm.
So thank you, Pseu, for getting me and knowing that I do indeed do the best rendition of the funeral oration. I couldn't agree more. I went back. I listened to it myself. I cried.
Oh, my God.
I loved it. I play it every night now.
Really?
For myself. Yeah, of course. I'm fantastic on that bit.
Unreal.
Really, I really appreciate my pace. I think I did a really great job with that.
Mm.
And really just landed that line perfectly. So, and it was appreciated by the fans out there.
Fan.
Much like Pseu42.
Mm. Friend of the podcast Ben Crystal was catching up on past episodes, and in response to our interview with friend of the podcast Mia Gosling, he tweeted, "Just listening to you on at No Holds Bardcast, now planning to stage an H8 and musical Tim in rep. Single dare, double dare, triple dare, Ben. You are now on the clock to get these productions up."
Yes. It's also triple dog dare.
I never really did that game. And that was your boy's bit.
Oh, yeah.
What was the rule on that?
So, it's basically a way of checking what you say, where you're like, I probably could juggle. The prime example was a friend of the podcast, Tim Jacobs, who is on Twitter at who but Tim Jacobs.
Of course.
we're in a Walmart. He's like, I probably could juggle 3 watermelons. And then the rule is if you can get off dare, double dare, triple dog dare before the person says no, they have to do what they said.
Got it.
Like, oh, I could definitely run across the ice at Rockefeller Center while people are skating. And you're like, dare, double dare, triple dog, dare. And like, no! So what happens is if you forget that you're being held accountable for your words, you get called on it.
Yeah.
So yeah. So yes, triple dog dare to Ben. And I believe it's H8 and a musical Time, in reference to Time Inn of Athens.
What did I say?
Tim.
Yes, that's right, which was Mia's answer in her guest appearance here on No Holds Barred.
Yeah. We had some good action. Nick Nelson tweeted out a picture. If you're not following us on Twitter, get on it, because that's really where this whole bit lives. But Nick Nelson tweeted out a picture of Chris Christie listening to a Trump
yeah,
speech.
That famous, yeah.
Brutus listening to Mark's eulogy. brilliant. Brilliant. Got some good. I think it has like 7 little hearts on it.
Another thing from Nick, who tweeted at No Holds Barred Cast. He had another application of men's eyes are made to look, so let them gaze. Which, of course, I can't believe we missed this one, is it can be applied when reviewing a dodgy leg before wicket decision in difficult conditions with a hat tip. He also threw in a hat tip to Gorilla Cricket, our sister cricket podcast.
Right.
Which, of course, I can't believe how we missed that.
Well, I didn't miss it. We just didn't say it because it was so obvious.
It was implied.
Yeah. It's
right?
kind of like, yeah. you know, we're trying to get the deeper answers.
Sure. We're trying to apply something here. But what we did miss, we talked a lot about, when I was listening to it, we talked a lot about like pitchers using it.
Yeah.
But who should use it? It would be a great radio announcer call. Like if that was your signature, if you get caught, if your pitcher gets the guy caught looking to end the inning, like that's going into, and men's eyes were made to look, and so let them gaze. Martinez puts another one down and the Red Sox lead 2-1 going into the bottom of the 7th.
Yeah, perfect.
You know?
Nice home game.
It's like, he go, but much classier.
I like it. You know, we're zhuzhing up the radio announcers around the world. Also on... Speaking of everyday shakes, this week we had Strange Bedfellows. This reminds me of an old Twitter account we have.
Oh, wow.
If you're out there, you can... Yeah, Kevin goes to the computer.
Have you looked at it recently?
I have not, actually.
Let's pull this up. Let's see if this is something we want to share, or if we did anything.
I mean, the picture is great.
The picture is fantastic.
We're okay. We're safe. We have 12 tweets and 6 followers on the Twitter account, at Odd Bedfellows, where we would just... bet on pretty much anything. It's something that we do.
We still do.
This Twitter account has fallen by the wayside, but maybe it's time to resurrect it with our current Master Chef Junior betting ring that we have going.
Right. I can't believe, I mean, this is, I'm just looking at this now. This is 7 years ago.
Yep. I look phenomenal.
That picture is fantastic.
Right?
The...
It's worth going and checking out just to see the picture.
What we looked at and looked like in a more innocent time.
I don't know if I would go with innocent on either side of that picture. It's pretty nuts.
Yeah, we could fire up our Master Chef Junior.
Yes.
America's 5th sport, Master Chef Junior.
So for those of you who are watching the show, it's also on Hulu, so get on it. We have drafted, of the 14 remaining children aged 8 to 13 who are cooking
home
for
chefs.
Our amusement, home chefs. We have drafted 4 each, and there are 6 currently in the pool of available people.
If you want to follow along.
If you want to follow along. The people you should be rooting for are Sydney, Adam, Justice, and Mark.
Losers. Sad.
So, sad.
Those are Dan's. I have Shane, Sydney, Brooklyn, Sydney.
I have Sid.
Sid. I have Brooklyn, Sydney, Lila, and Evan. Follow along. We'll be keeping you updated.
Yeah, I'm going to win.
The only thing less interesting than people talking about their fantasy football teams are people talking about their fantasy MasterChef Junior teams. Odd Bedfellows. Good God.
Right? We're brilliant.
Well, we're something.
Objectively brilliant.
Dan, I heard you did some additional homework this week.
Yeah, I did. I... loved the fans so much that I shedded weight, dropped way down, and then put some weight back on so I could get the opportunity to write a stunning essay.
Mm.
Luck of the draw, I pulled out Mr. Moshkowitz,
mm-hmm.
who asked the question basically, do we have the question here?
I don't. So I didn't read your essay yet.
You didn't?
Because there's a possibility I may have to do it as well.
So
I didn't, in case... Well, the way we've been, this is just to catch everyone up, this has been our weight loss challenge. We started last month. The first weigh-in was on March 1. Dan did not make his first benchmark, so he had to complete an assignment sent in to us. We have a pool of assignments sent in by high school English teachers. Mr. Moshkowitz's was the one pulled, so Dan completed the essay, sent it in. We have 6 more weigh-ins, is that right?
At least.
Well, yeah, I think it's 6 more weigh-ins. And if we miss any of our benchmarks throughout, we will continue to have to write essays.
I take objection with the phrase, miss the benchmark. Uh-huh. I made it and then put the weight back on, of course, because I love the people. I love the barred flies so much.
You know, you could make it and then just write it anyways.
That's not fun.
Is it?
Yeah, I mean, that defeats the whole purpose. I mean, we have these questions here for this specific reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I want to make sure that I'm fulfilling the dreams of people like Sue 42.
Uh-huh.
Just saying.
Fake news. So,
I don't have my response yet. You have it, right?
I have the response yet. Do you want to... So, I guess it really doesn't even matter what... So, do we want to post your essay up?
Yeah. We'll put it on our Facebook
We'll put it on
page?
Twitter. We'll put it on Facebook.
Cool.
So you guys can read Dan's essay.
Yes.
But I will enact... Mr. Moskowitz wrote his response to you.
Yes. I read the first three sentences. And then
see me
it
after class. So I will enact this response.
Oh, God.
So are you ready for your feedback on your essay?
Five.
And for those of you, I'll put this up. It's when we're recording this, so this will have been up for a couple days on our Facebook and Twitter page. So you read that and come back. We'll wait. Okay, welcome back.
You're welcome. Did you enjoy that?
Dan.
Yes. Oh.
This was a wonderful submission.
Yes!
Your insight into Gertrude and Ophelia was beautifully done.
Yes.
I have a couple of criticisms, some of which might be explained by you being new to the class. Point one, your reference, Shakespeare's masterpiece, Hamlet.
Mm-hmm.
Although this is not an objective writing assignment per se,
creative writing,
we don't need subjective references. Oh. The fact that this is a masterpiece isn't entirely relevant.
Oh.
I've always said that about you. You talk too much. Again, you're new to the class.
Was
so
that, was that you or that?
That was me.
Oh, okay.
That was Kevin. Sorry, I'll add a little more differentiation there between
more
my editorializing.
Yes. Thank you.
Point two, again, you're new to the class, so you might not be aware of the fact that we try to avoid first-person pronouns referring to your introduction, not to the assignment or self. Why, Kevin, why am I not surprised at all that you couldn't resist referring to yourself in your essay?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Best.
I got to check this out. I'm going to pull the essay up right now.
Actually, I'm more surprised because I'm surprised you didn't refer to yourself in the third person in this introductory paragraph.
Seriously, Dan loves doing that.
Back to Mosh. By using we, you are including me in your observations and, well, we just met. We don't know each other well enough yet.
Then stop tweeting at me.
I mean, I would prefer if you didn't use me as we, Kevin, and we've known each other
too long.
At least since 2010, if we're not bedfellows. Point, next point. I know I said this did not have to be an MLA format,
yes.
Teacher doublespeak, but just as a heads up, if it were a requirement, you would need to align your heading on the left side, double space it, and remove the comma from the date, change your header to Times New Roman 12, and double space your entire paper.
I got that from gradesaver.com.
That's first day of school stuff, Dan.
Come on.
I will say, I have so many strengths as a paper writer that, unfortunately, I also have too many strengths as a keeper of goals, too, that people will see. But my formatting was always on point. Just saying. Next point. I would like to have seen some more textual support other than, quote, grows aslant the brook, end quote. Was that your only?
Well, I wrote this. This is a creative. So for a little context, basically, it's the question, which was a flawed question, I might add, is
a window into 17-year-old Dan.
Yes.
Getting indignant at the teacher's assignment.
Well, I sent an email to Mosh before this.
He did.
Asking for.
I was copied.
You know, basically, it said, the character's reaction to hearing the news that Ophelia had died, who is to blame, and what repercussions might happen now.
Uh-huh.
But Gertrude doesn't hear that Ophelia dies. She sees it.
Mm.
So in this alternate universe that I've created in this creative writing, it's Gertrude who's sitting in the willow tree, who sees the whole thing and decides while sitting there that she's like, oh, I'll say that Ophelia was sitting here and she drowned by accident.
Uh-huh.
So that was the textual reference that it's, and I'm sure that Mosh missed it because it's pretty high level.
Oh my God.
But the idea is, imagine if you will, Gertrude sitting in the willow tree sees this and goes, I will take the fall for her. It's Mosh.
Kind for you to add text to clarify Shakespeare's thoughts. He needs the help. Final point, last.
You're welcome, Shakespeare.
And most important, and where you lost most of your points, you originally told me that you were going to write Gertrude's, quote, reaction upon seeing Ophelia's death.
Yes.
That's fine. But you changed Ophelia's death. Or at least how it happens. And that's a separate issue.
What? What? I didn't change it at all.
You just said you did. You just said to me on the microphone that you did.
Maybe I did.
Those are your words. Those are your words, not mine.
I will.
Your words.
You know what? It's a better scenario.
Fine. Improving Shakespeare. What a shock.
You're welcome, Dan, everyone.
That is Dan at Dan Bono's.
At Dan Bono's.
Improving Shakespeare.
Getting it right.
That's
since
sad.
19 blank.
1989.
Sure.
That said.
Yes, go on.
Your work was impressive.
Yes, of course it was.
Your insight into why Gertrude was doing Ophelia a favor is interesting,
yes.
Both in regards to Ophelia's character and Gertrude's.
Yes.
Other high points include, blah, blah, blah.
Go ahead.
Other high points include the chess reference,
yes.
Becoming a pawn so she could become a queen.
Thank you.
The sonnet included on page 2, extra credit within extra credit.
Thank you. Yes, I wrote this all in verse, by the way.
The view through, I'm sure everyone read it and is very impressed. The view through Ophelia's troubles into Gertrude's character.
Thank you.
Saline solace.
Yes.
Brilliant. Is that tears?
Yes, indeed.
Show off. I like the way that each additional tie represents another reason of why she's doing what she's doing.
Thank you.
But could you have perhaps used that same imagery as a way to have the branch break and therefore remain truer to the text?
She wasn't in the branch, you dumb.
Okay, that's minus points. I'm taking more points off. You're going to the box.
Sorry, Mosh. I'm getting heated.
The final couplet and the ambiguity of how and why Gertrude needs to be saved. So you got some. There are some good things. That sounds good. Overall, an impressive effort.
Thank you.
A.
Yeah.
Minus.
What?
A minus. See me
A
after.
Minus is good. See me, it is good, and yet it is not A.
Good.
It is, but so.
See me after school if you have any questions. Looking forward to your future assignments, Mr. Mosh. Yeah. Mr. Mosh is now my favorite high school teacher.
Me too. Got an A.
Until next time.
You know that Mosh, only his highest grade he gives out is like a C. So I just blew it away.
False news.
No, I was talking to one of his students. I'm in the class now on Twitter, and they're saying
seriously,
his highest grade is a C. So I thank you. The elusive blue crab A minus from Mr. Moshkowitz.
I mean, you're literally twice their ages too. So
that's not fake. Sad. Sad.
Oh, so good.
I've been this worked up since my old friend and good friend Skylar Collins. Bet we had a misunderstanding a while ago, but we're best friends now. Have you heard from him?
No.
No. Oh, I have.
Oh.
Skylar freaking Collins writes. Hey, Dan. Sorry I didn't get back to you earlier. To make a long story short, Michael Cassio and I share very poor and unhappy brains for drinking, which when I forget becomes a custom more honored in the breach than the currents.
Mm.
But this reminder should be enough. I've emailed John about the next Shakespeareans, and I'll let you know. Yes, we might, you know, hang out again because we're dear, dear friends.
Sure.
Thank you for inviting me to the first. It was a lot of fun. I like your directing. Thank you. Hope the show went well. Anyway. For the next episode, here's a little blank verse. Ah, Kevin. What a damned fool I've been.
Be careful.
Have rebuked this finest of all men. That's me. As Hector turned down Perfect's Achilles. Thou wouldst be Paris. That all do know. But yet I fear thou borrowest that name in vain. No Trojan war for you. But Juliet, not even so. Thy love is impotent. To work with Bolière is work enough to keep a soul at ease for years to come.
I assure you that's not
and
the case.
So adieu, adieu. Remember me. I've turned from country pauper to the king. Skylar C. Skylar's come to the good side. We all knew this would happen.
I don't know who that is.
Nothing to say.
I don't negotiate with terrorists.
Oh my God.
Hot take. We have a plug that we need to throw in here.
Oh.
Emily Lyon, who is at Lyon_M on Twitter, this year for Seven Stages did all of our coasters for the Shakespeareans. Part of our coming to see the Shakespeareans experiences. You get a customized poster with a poster. A customized.
You do not know. Wow.
You get a customized coaster for each show on the evening because we're in the bar, and she very graciously designed our whole season.
Yeah.
And in exchange asked nothing but to let everyone know that she is available for graphic design work for Shakespeare lovers.
Oh, cool.
If you want to reach out to her, I think I can throw up. Maybe I'll throw up the design so people can see the season.
Absolutely.
But I will also put her contact information on there. You can go to her website for contact if you're interested in getting some design work. She is at emilyalyon.com. Emily does great work, and she's you know, she's a regular contributor here on No Holds Barred Cast, so yes. You won't need to explain what Shakespeare is to her if you need any right. If you need any freelance design work. So definitely
really
go check her out.
Really fun working on those with her. The question she asked while doing the designing was really it is a treat.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes.
Patreon update. We got three new Patreon contributors this week. So special extra double bonus thanks to Steve, Gretchen Bayer, and MJ Brady.
Thanks, guys.
You guys are our heroes. Thanks so much for coming on board. If you are listening and you are not currently pledging, you can kick us, and you would like to kick us a few bucks, you can find us on Patreon at patreon.com/noholdsbarred. If you donate $3 a month to help out the show, you'll get our 12th night cards every 12th night in January,
yeah. And
also access to other special benefits, of which we are currently mulling over some. Let's just say, for those of you who are donating, please check your Patreon to make sure we have your correct mailing address.
Anything maybe? You want to talk, want to tease?
No,
here
I just make sure
we have it, we have that address.
Yeah, exactly.
If we need it,
just make sure that's up to date on patreon.com
slash.
No holds barred. We also and if you don't don't have the means or interest in supporting us financially but still want to help us out, you can do so by rating and reviewing us on iTunes so we can try and keep a foothold in the top 200 performing arts podcasts. Right now we have 80 ratings, and with our 100th episode on the horizon.
Yes.
Wouldn't it be swell if we could hit 100 ratings by then?
It would be swell.
So that's the first that we're going to hit number 100. We're working on getting some extra special things to happen for that 100th episode.
What episode is this?
That would be the first week in May would be number 100.
So we're 6 episodes away?
Yes. Yeah. This one is 93.
So 7, if my math is right.
Nailed it.
Perfect.
So yeah, if you haven't rated us, jump on there. Give us a rating. We really appreciate it. It really helps us out.
Right. 100th episode. 100 ratings for the nonce.
Yeah.
Please.
And also I found out this week in doing some research on iTunes that subscribing on iTunes is a huge driver in where you stand on the chart. So I know a lot of people either stream or listen or download individual episodes, but which is also fine. But if you could give us a subscription, that would be very helpful in driving us up the charts.
Guess what?
So what?
I just subscribed.
You weren't subscribed.
No. I forgot.
Well, you know, it's...
One more subscription.
You know, it's funny. I mean, we just started, so I guess it's nice to have a subscription. And
yeah.
It's funny. Do you know how long we've been doing the podcast now, Dan?
I believe 93 episodes.
It's our 2-year anniversary.
Today?
2 days ago.
Oh!
Well, this Saturday.
Here I come.
Saturday the 11th. Hug. Don't hug me. I don't like hugs. Oh, God damn. Oh, he's hugging me. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, with the hugs.
Mass.
Yeah, our first episode was March 11th, 2015.
Wow.
That was last Saturday, so.
Was that the first episode that we...
The long-lost episode.
Wow, my liver still hurts from that one.
That was not a good one, which is why no one... I think that was downloaded 7 times, and that's 5 too many.
That's 7 times more than I remember doing that episode.
Well, mistakes were made.
Jameson both, was consumed.
Both then and over the ensuing 2 years, so Dan, happy 2-year anniversary.
Happy 2-year anniversary.
Yeah. Get anything
that's
else?
That's exciting. No.
All right, folks.
I need to write a couplet real quick. Oh, word of the week?
Oh, word of the week. You used it at the beginning. I know exactly what it was, and I didn't write it down.
Ah, interesting.
Was it remnant?
No. That was my insult. Oh, rag. It was nonce.
No,
I just said it about 75 seconds ago.
Oh, perfect.
But I snuck it in while you were speaking. It was perfect.
I can't stand you. What is nonce? Is just
like
a...
occasion.
Oh.
For the nonce. I'll have a chalice for the nonce. It was a really hard word to think. I will never use this word. But it came into my head this morning, and I was like, what does that word mean? Because I knew the phrase for the nonce, but I was like, what does it? So it's like for the purpose or for the occasion. So I used it when saying we'd like to have 100 ratings for the nonce.
Oh, nice.
For a 100th episode.
That works.
Yeah.
That's an actual usage. There you go.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to do it. So to keep in touch with us until next time, you can email us at noholdsbarredpodcast@gmail.com. You can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/noholdsbarred. You can follow us on Twitter at noholdsbarredcast, or you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/noholdsbarredcast. So on behalf of the Seven Stages Shakespeare Company. Oh, shoot. We forgot to circle around with Robert Icke's claim that British Shakespeare has, quote, shot itself in both feet, end quote, with, quote, bizarre operatic modes of delivery, end quote. Though, in all honesty, it seems like his take is fairly comprehensive. Ah, well. We'll try harder next time. Till then, my name is Kevin.
I am me. I fell last night while skating. Hurt my knee. Adieu, 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 adieu.